and the prophecy that came through his father, Zechariah. And we'll be getting into that this morning in our message. So sit back, listen, a modern-day version telling the Christmas story. The 30-something woman reached into her parka pocket to find a couple quarters, nickels, dimes, whatever she could find in order to buy a cup of coffee or perhaps a hot chocolate at the local diner down the street where she was on the city streets. So reaching into her pocket, she was reaching for that change that she could use to purchase the coffee, and all of a sudden she felt something in her pocket that felt very strange. It felt like paper or fabric, and so she quickly pulled it out and looked. There in her hand were two crisp, brand new $20 bills, total of $40 together. And obviously she knew she was not losing it, even though she was kind of recovering with a hangover from a previous night of drinking. She looked again. They're not counterfeit. They're real. And she said, I know. She said to herself, I know when I left the homeless shelter this morning, there was nothing in my pocket except spare change. So how did this happen? I didn't brush up against anybody walking on the streets of the city, so no one could have snuck some money graciously into my pocket like a gift. So where in the world did this come from? But now with cash in her hand, and she headed more briskly down the street to that diner where she was going to get a large breakfast to fill her complaining stomach. This is certainly not the life Mary had envisioned for herself, not at all. She grew up in a single-parent home, and really nothing too wrong with that. Her mother kept encouraging her from year to year to year, Mary, you're going to make something out of your life. You're going to be moving out of this trailer court someday. You're going to marry a dude and you're going to have six children and live in the suburbs and you're going to escape this life of poverty. Well, indeed, Mary did leave the trailer court and headed in the opposite direction to a homeless shelter. But there was a detour along the way, and that detour was she did marry, well, in a sense, I guess, if you can call cohabiting marriage. She did have a child, sweet little girl, by the name of Angel, called her Angel. But after experiencing abuse after abuse after abuse, and beating after beating after beating, Mary couldn't take it any longer. And so one dark night in December, she left that home, that bare apartment, and took her little daughter out into the world. And there spent a night on the street, and realizing she couldn't stay on the street and take care of her daughter, she found a homeless shelter where, as soon as she did, the staff of the homeless shelter looked at her daughter, who was undernourished, and looked at her improper clothing and contacted CPS immediately, Child Protection Services. And so Mary found her daughter whisked off away from her, tears streaming down her face, to some foster home somewhere. And all she had was a promise that someday, in the future, she would have a court date to appear before a family judge whose name she did not know, nor could she trust. Living amidst the drugs as she did and alcohol meant living in squalor. And here is the key, becoming a drug and alcohol infested person as well. Mary would sometimes see the mice scurrying across the kitchen floor in that squalor and think to herself that those mice are appropriate symbols for the rats that are scurrying around inside my person. Those rats accumulating around my addiction of alcohol and drugs. And indeed, she was right. Mary was a realist. She knew she was an addict. She knew that she had lost control to the spirits by the names of Jim Beam, Johnny Walker, Jack Daniels. But in order to hook up with those names and those men in the bottles, she knew she'd have to hook up with other men. with no names that she cared to know. And that's how Mary found herself in the corner of 11th and Hennepin that cold December morning. Pulling her stocking cap off, her matted hair, Mary entered the diner where she wanted to get a good breakfast and looked for a booth that might be open. And there in the back was one booth left, only one in the entire diner that was empty. And so she went back to that booth and sat down in the vinyl-covered booth. Oh, she was hungry. What would she eat that morning? She was thinking to herself, do I pancakes? Ooh, sounds good. No, French toast, even better. How about an omelet? How about French toast and an omelet and some bacon and orange juice? She had cash in her pocket. Ah, the smells of bacon frying on the grill smelled just like her mother's cooking back in the trailer park. Ah, the memories. The memories flooded into her mind at that moment. Pulling off her tattered parka, Mary slid into the booth there. And next to the menus on the counter, on the table, was a book someone had mistakenly left. And so, first things first, however, before she even looked at the book or the title of the book, looked odd, not a normal book, she reached for the menu and picked the menu up and looked inside. Boy, this is strange. Wow. The entire menu on the left side was blank, and most of the right side was blank. But there in the middle was today's special. French toast, ham and cheese omelet, bacon, coffee, orange juice for $8. Waitress came to her table and said, "What can I get you?" Mary says, "Where's the rest of the menu? And what are those folks eating over there? It's not on the menu. They're eating something that's not on the menu." She says, "Well, I recommend the special. Why don't you have the special today?" Mary says, "That sounds good. Only for you. Good choice, dear," said the waitress. Opening the book then, Mary found that every page was empty. An empty book. Page after page after page where there's nothing there at all. And so she flipped through the book and scanned it, and till two-thirds of the way through, she found some writing on a particular page. So she read it while she was waiting for her order to arrive. Here's what she read. Verse 68 of Luke chapter 1, follow along in your Bibles. "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people and raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets from of old, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us." What a strange book, Mary thought to herself. Only one page has writing on it. And as she was thinking about this, she saw a man come and approach her booth, and he was wearing a Christmas sweater and a ski jacket. He was bearded. He sat down, and before she could say, "Excuse me, sir, that seat is taken," the stranger said, "Good morning, Mary." "Good morning to you," she said, "but excuse me, but do I know you? And why are you sitting in my booth? And how did you know my name?" The stranger said back to her, "No, you don't know me, Mary, but I certainly know you. You were just now thinking about how good that bacon smells and how wonderful it was to have that reminder of your mother's cooking a few years ago." "Mister," Mary said, "I have no idea how you knew my name and how you knew what I was thinking, but it must be some kind of a trick." The stranger said, "No, it's no trick, Mary. But for now, let's talk about that $40 that's in your pocket." "How did you know I had $40 in my pocket?" Mary asked. "Were you stalking me when I pulled it out of my pocket this morning, walking along the streets?" "No, Mary, I wasn't stalking you. I heard you pray. for enough money the next day to be able to buy a good breakfast and to be able to buy that toy you want to get for your daughter Angel, even though you don't know where she's staying, but you would still like to buy her a toy. Mary tried to remember, where did she pray that and when? Oh, yeah. It was last night in the homeless shelter, but it wasn't a prayer out loud. It was a silent prayer. How could this man, how could this stranger know I prayed specifically for that request? Wow, what a strange, strange morning. Who are you anyway, she asked. And how do you know so much about me? I'm the one you just read about in that book, Mary. The verse there that you just read that said God visited and redeemed his people and that God raised up a horn of salvation to defeat his people's enemies, I'm that horn. I'm that one. I'm from the house of David. Mary said, that makes absolutely no sense at all to me. And the waitress brought her omelet and her French toast. Stranger asked, would you like me to bless that food? Sure, go right ahead, Mary said as she was digging into her omelet. The stranger bowed his head, said, Father, bless this food today to Mary, and thank you for Mary and what is about to happen. In my name, amen. Mary took the fork that she was about to shovel that omelet in her mouth and put it back on her plate. What do you mean, your name? I thought you were supposed to pray in Jesus' name. Well, yes, said the stranger, but the Father already knows who I am, so I just simply pray in my name and it works just fine. Works just fine. Mary ate while the stranger sat in silence while she was eating. And in between bites, Mary looked at the stranger and took in his features. Rugged. Looked like he had experienced a very, very hard life. He had piercing eyes, but yet soft. And it was as if those eyes, when they looked at Mary, could see not the tattered parka and the torn stocking cap and the matted hair, and the effects of drugs on her face. But it was as if those eyes could see somebody as beautiful as Melania Trump, she thought, only shorter. Quietly, she said, my name is Mary. I know, the stranger said. Your mother named you after the Virgin Mary when you were born. Wow. Mary thought to herself, one more piece of information that no one in all the world would possibly know. How did he know that precious secret? But she said, yeah, but I'm no virgin. She said it with astonishing honesty, quickly drinking down the last of her orange juice. And the stranger said, I know. But had you trusted me when I spoke to you through your mother's wisdom, you would have not taken the road you are on today. What? She said. Are you talking about those times when my mother shared with me from the Bible, those Bible verses? Yeah, I am. Well, I thought it was an irrelevant book that didn't relate to today. Well, your mother thought differently. Your mother knew better. But let's leave that for now. You asked about me. And I told you that I was the horn of salvation of the house of the servant of David. Do you know what a horn is on a ram or on a mountain goat? She said, yeah, I've seen pictures of that. Well, it's the animal's defense mechanism. It's his weapon that he uses to fight off his enemies and to protect himself. And I'm that weapon that God uses to defeat the enemies of mankind, which is sin and Satan. Mary, do you have any enemies? She said, well, None that I can think of. The stranger looked at her again without much of a pause and said, how about the enemies called Jim Beam, Johnny Walker, Jack Daniels? Mary hung her head and she said, they've stolen my life. They've stolen my life, she whispered, an almost indecipherable whisper. I know they have, the stranger said, because you thought you could bury your pain in the dullness they would bring to your spirit. But they've made a slave out of you, haven't they? They demanded far more than you ever anticipated, didn't they? Her honest reply, they took my daughter away. Oh, the stranger said, she's fine. And I told her that you'd be coming back to get her and take her back into your home soon. You've been to see her? Well, not exactly, the stranger said, but I spoke to her and she knew exactly who it was who was speaking to her and assuring her that she would be back with you again someday. But finish your breakfast, and then I want you to read the rest of the passage that's on that page in that book. So Mary polished off her omelet, too full to finish the French toast, and she went back to read the rest of that passage from the book of Luke to show the mercy promised to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant. The oath that he swore to our father Abraham to grant us that we, being delivered from the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear in holiness and righteousness before him all our days. She read it aloud, and the stranger said, I know it sounds confusing, Mary, but here, I'll make it as simple as I can. God promised his chosen people in the Old Testament, the Israelites. Today, it's all he's calling out of the world. He chose back then to send a redeemer to rescue them out of their sin and to save them from their enemies, which is mainly sin. And once he did that and rescued them, he was going to put a new heart in them and they would serve him the rest of their days in holiness and in righteousness. Mary, do you feel holy? And do you feel like you are righteous? Mary responded, that's a deep question and I don't know how to answer it. Well, it's deep, but it's not hard to answer, the stranger said. Deep down, you know you have done wrong a gazillion times. And if we had all day to confess your sins, we'd just be barely scratching the surface. Whew, what a statement. Mary responded, it sounds like you are condemning me at one time, but with your face, it looks like you're telling me something else. You're trying to show me compassion. So which is it? Are you here to slam me because of my guilt? Or are you here to show me compassion? Both, the stranger answered back. But I don't need to make you feel guilty, Mary. You are guilty. Do you remember the time you left your mother's house, you slammed the door on her, and the things that you said to her, how you hurt her so badly? Mary was upset now. She says, I'm done here. Thanks for the cash, mister. I appreciate it. Thanks for the breakfast. Hey, I thought you told me that the $40 would be enough to buy breakfast and the toy. I don't have enough money now to buy the toy. Don't worry about that, the stranger said. I've told the manager at the store to reduce the price by $5. You have plenty to get the toy. Do you think, though, Mary, I've got one more question to ask you. Do you think you are in any condition to take Mary or to take Angel back in to live with you? Mary sat in silence for a good minute, and then in the hushest of sounds, she said, no, no, and shook her head. I'm not. Would you like to be? The stranger asked. Looking up into his compassionate eyes, and with tears welling up in her eyes, she humbly and meekly said, "Yes, yes, I would." "I thought you might," the stranger said, "so finish the passage and read it out loud. And you, child, will be called the prophet of the Most High," she read. "For you will go before the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation to his people in the forgiveness of their sins. Because of the tender mercy of our God, whereby the sunrise shall visit us from on high to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace." "Tell me, Mary," the stranger said, "have you ever spent a night in the shadow of darkness, fearing for your life, perhaps?" "Yes," she said. "It was the night you left Sam, wasn't it? Your live-in boyfriend, and headed out into the city streets to find a new life, wasn't it? On the corner of Harmon and 13th in downtown Minneapolis." "Yes," she said, "that night. There were gang members who were gathering around you, weren't there, Mary, that night? And you were terrified. You thought they were going to do something very bad to you and to Angel. But did you notice something? Angel slept like a baby, warm all night long." She says, "Yes, I was so afraid for Angel and me that we were in danger. So tell me, why didn't they hurt you? And why is it that you think that Angel slept like a baby all night, very, very warm? Tell me, Mary." "Well," she says, "I was there on the corner in that intersection there, that doorstep there, and these gang members were around me, and all of a sudden they looked and they had this frightened look on their face, and they screamed and they ran away as fast as they could. I didn't know what was going on." "Well, that's what guardian angels can do when they need you. They can scare the pants off of the most violent gang members, but it's not so hard because their pants are halfway down to their shoes anyway." "You did that?" she asked. "No, my angel did. My angel did." "You sent an angel to protect me?" "Absolutely. By the way, do you know what doorstep you were sleeping on?" "No, I have no idea." "Well, you were sleeping on the very doorstep of the former Billy Graham Evangelistic Association headquarters there in downtown Minneapolis. Not there anymore, but that's where it was. Do you know who that is?" "Yeah. The guy who preaches on TV to people to be saved? That's the guy. Every time he would preach to those audiences, he would preach about me. And he would preach that people need to repent of their sins, turn from their wicked ways, trust in me as their Lord and Savior, and they would go to heaven and not go to hell. That's the man. His name is Billy Graham. My mom had him on TV once," Mary said. "I know. I was in the room." Mary thought to herself, "This is spooky. Very spooky." "Doesn't need to be," the stranger said. "See that Salvation Army volunteer out there right in front of the restaurant? Go call him and tell him the master wants him to have a cup of coffee with you. Go do it right now." "Really? You want me to tell him the master wants to have a cup of coffee with him now?" "Mary, in the future, I expect you to obey without hesitation, instantly, everything I tell you to do, and you will. Because by the end of the day, you will have surrendered totally to me as your Lord and Savior." Mary got up from the table, went out the door, took out of her jacket the remaining $32 she had after she was ready to pay the $8 for breakfast, and she decided, strangely enough, to put the entire $32 in the Salvation Army kettle. Why did she do that? Wow. Something came over her. Anyway, she told the volunteer, "The master, don't ask me why, has asked you to come inside and leave the kettle and have a cup of coffee with me and him. The volunteer followed Mary into the diner, went back to the booth, and sat next to Mary across from the stranger. The stranger said, "Hello, Martin. This is Mary. Tell Mary now how the Master has changed your life and how you have gladly served him in holiness and righteousness all the days of your life since you met the Master. Tell her." And for an entire hour, Martin shared with Mary how he lived a life of sinful rebellion against God until God literally, not figuratively, but literally put his face in the gutter one night to get his attention. And he turned and surrendered his life to Christ as Lord and Savior and has been serving him in holiness and righteousness ever since. Mary listened intently to every single word coming out of his mouth because so many points in his story seemed to intersect with her life story as well, and she was connecting to every word he was saying. When he finally finished telling his story, and she looked up and the stranger was gone. He left. And Martin said, "Look at that book again, would you? Look at that book. Pick it up and turn to the last verse that you just read." So she did. She found the page again. And she read out loud to Martin. It says, "To give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace." Mary, would you like to know and love the Savior like I do? Martin asked. "Show me what to do," Mary said in total, complete honesty. Turning now to a book which pages were blank, but now filled page after page after page with printing and verses and words that bring life to a dark soul, he turned to the book of Romans. "Look here, Mary. This is called the book of Romans. And in the book of Romans, you're going to find what we call the Roman road. It is amazing. I'm going to read some scripture verses to you, and you're going to find out how you can know the Savior as your own Lord and love him today. Let's start here." He said in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus." Doesn't that sound good, Mary? The life of sin you've been living, the life of sin I lived, we earned something. You and I earned something. What was that? Mary asked. We earned death, eternal damnation for our sins. Mary said, "But I haven't been that bad." "Oh, wait a minute," Martin says. "You've sinned against an infinitely holy God who has infinitely loved you beyond whatever you can possibly imagine. And you think you've done nothing that deserves death?" She admitted she did. So then let's look at this verse. Look, it's in Romans 5:8. "But God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." Mary, did you notice something about the stranger's hands, his wrists? Did you notice something, Mary? "Yeah," she said. "When he reached for the carafe of coffee to pour me another cup of coffee, his sweater came back from his wrist, and I saw something there on his wrist that looked like a wound that had never really healed. It wasn't bleeding, but it didn't seem to be healed." Martin says, "Don't you know what that is? It's where the Roman soldiers fastened him to a cross. And on that day, he died a horrible, horrible death for you. and those wounds will last forever. As a reminder, the kind of love that man has for you. Look at this next verse, Mary. Romans 6:23. The wages of sin is death. We read that. But the free gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ. Romans 3:23. All of sin falls short of the glory of God. But Mary, I want you to read the next one. Here it is. It's in chapter 10. Find it. Verse 9. Verse 10, read it out loud, would you, Mary? She says, okay, because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. Martin led Mary in a prayer of confession and repentance, much like Zacchaeus, repenting of her sins and confessing them to the Lord and asking for his salvation. And Mary then asked Martin, who was that man sitting in the booth across from us? Who was that stranger? He is, Martin said, and always will be your Lord, Master, and Savior. And guess what, Mary? You are no longer the person you once were. You are now the person you have always been meant to be by the Master's plan. This, Mary, what happened today, is the one and only true message of Christmas. And this is why I ring that bell out there every Christmas season, so that we can collect money so more people can hear the good news of Jesus Christ, who died for us on the cross and rescued people as vile as me and you. Uncharacteristically, Mary turned to hug Martin and reached once again into her pocket to find a couple quarters, maybe a nickel or two, to leave for a tip for the waitress. She'd been so good pouring coffee all morning long. Much to her astonishment, she pulled out $37. Wow. Where'd that come from? In single dollar bills. $5 she left for a tip, and 32 more to buy that toy for her daughter Angel that was now discounted by $5 more. But then she reached into her other pocket, and she found a piece of paper, and pulling it out, to much to her surprise, there was a Greyhound bus ticket to Marion, Iowa, the place where she grew up. It was time to visit her mother, who had never stopped praying for her. A prodigal had discovered the real meaning of Christmas. Well, I know it's fictional, but in many ways it's not. Thousands are coming to Christ every day through the love of Jesus Christ in very, very intimate and personal ways. Jesus is revealing himself. Many to whom don't have a written gospel in front of them like we do. He's approaching them in dreams and in visions. And what a privilege that is. But we too are Jesus to those around us, because we're the only ones who can reveal Jesus to them. So it was a story, but to me, it's what real meaning of Christmas is all about.